Hello, everyone. I'm Barbara Eady from BarbaraEady.com, and today I'm speaking with Bob Roth, Executive Director of the David Lynch Foundation. Bob is one of many leaders of transformation that I'm interviewing as part of an upcoming book I'm writing about people whose work is not only changing the world, but really having a huge impact on humanity. And before we begin, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about Bob Roth. As the Executive Director of the David Lynch Foundation, Bob has helped to introduce the Transcendental Meditation Program to over 150,000 at-risk students in 130 public and charter schools in the United States, Latin America, the Middle East, and Africa. He also serves as a National Director of the Center for Leadership Performance, where he's helped to oversee the introduction of Transcendental Meditation in business, industry, and governmental organizations. And Bob has also been a teacher of Transcendental Meditation for over 40 years and is, in fact, the author of the definitive book on the technique, aptly entitled Transcendental Meditation, and that's been published in 21 languages. So welcome, Bob. You seem to be the expert on Transcendental Meditation, and that's fabulous.
At least for this call.
Yeah. At least for this call, okay. And the perfect person, the perfect person to tell us about the David Lynch Foundation. So before we start, I'll just let people know the full name is the David Lynch Foundation for Consciousness-Based Education and World Peace. And for those who may not know, it was founded by the award-winning director, writer, and producer David Lynch, who I understand was looking for his own in quest for happiness and then discovered meditation and really wanted to bring it to the world. The foundation was started in 2005. Is that right, Bob?
Yep.
Okay. So can you tell me a little?
Yes.
Okay, and I know Mr. Lynch was doing meditation for quite a few years before that. So can you tell me just a little bit about how it all began and why he chose to create a foundation and how it evolved?
Well, David started Transcendental Meditation back in 1973 when he was working on his film Eraserhead, his first film, and he continued to meditate for, you know, till 2005 when he and I had a discussion, and I said, you know, David, we're enjoying the benefits of meditation ourselves, but there's millions and millions and millions and millions and hundreds of millions of children, many of whom attend underserved schools in inner cities in the United States and all over the world, who could benefit greatly from meditation if they only had a chance. And David is a very compassionate man, as well as being a brilliant and creative genius, and he immediately saw the point that we could raise money to be able to pay teachers, TM teachers' salaries to go into schools and teach TM. And so that was the original idea in 2005, and it's just one of those things that just sparked. He went on a tour of college campuses, and everywhere he went, there were tens of thousands of people who were turning out to hear him speak. I had no idea he was that popular. And then in 2009, he was friends with Paul McCartney, and he talked to Paul, and Paul and Ringo agreed to do a fundraising concert for the David Lynch Foundation at Radio City Music Hall. And that just sort of, that was it. That was the spark that just took off, and the whole purpose of the concert had been to raise the money to teach 1 million at-risk youth to meditate. And to this date now, you said in the introduction it was 150,000. It's actually closer to 300,000.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's been an amazing, amazing phenomenon. So it started just with the thought that he would like to bring this share this meditation that had helped him so much with others. And the title, David Lynch Foundation for Consciousness-Based Education and World Peace, those are two interesting terms. Consciousness-based education just alludes to the fact that education has to be more than just jamming a kid's, a young boy or young girl's brain full of facts and figures so that they can go out and get a job. It also should equip that student with the ability to absorb knowledge, the ability to integrate knowledge, not just, you know, the person who can memorize best wins, but equip everyone with the tools to be able to absorb knowledge and use knowledge and also grow in their own inner fulfillment, their own inner resources of creativity and happiness and satisfaction. And the world peace part just means that you ain't going to have world peace. You're not going to change the world until there's a generation of people who are peaceful and productive and powerful and creative within themselves. So that's the visionary part of the foundation, but you got to start somewhere. And so
right.
That's the beauty of the name.
So it actually started with the kids then? Well, with children
and colleges?
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Because now I understand it's expanded to all kinds of at-risk populations, like not just youth at risk, but other people experience stress and
veterans,
trauma.
Veterans
with post-traumatic stress disorder and women who've experienced domestic violence. Even Native people who are struggling with diabetes. So it's really expanded to serve all kinds of at-risk groups at this point.
It's an interesting thing. Absolutely. It's an interesting thing. Someone looked at all the different areas that we're involved in, students and veterans and women and girls who've been victims of abuse and prisoners and guards in prisons and homeless. And they said, well, aren't you spreading yourself thin? Why so many different areas? And, you know, it's quite clear that there's a common denominator to all of those population segments, and that is that somewhere along the line they've been victims of trauma and acute stress in their lives. Mm-hmm. That even you see a man or a woman who's behind bars for a violent crime, it didn't just happen out of the blue. You mm-hmm. can see that they were victims of abuse when they were young, or intense poverty, alcoholic parents. And so what we're doing now is we are addressing, the David Lynch Foundation is addressing this epidemic of not just stress, but traumatic stress in society, which strikes hardest with at-risk populations. And the whole thing has just sort of grown, you could use the word, organically, where we started off with kids, and then we were teaching teachers, and then one of the teachers said, well, you know, my husband or my wife is just came back from Iraq, and she's suffering from, you know, huge deep depression and impulsive violent behavior and substance abuse. Could you offer her to meditate? So then it just grew, and then we're working with Wounded Warriors Project with veterans, and we're working with the Veterans Administration, the Department of Defense. You know, there's 22 veterans commit suicide every single day in America.
Wow.
Because they suffer from post-traumatic stress, and just medicine, pills, and talk therapy isn't addressing the problem, not even close. So it's spreading that way to address the problem of trauma and stress in at-risk populations' lives.
Absolutely. So that's an amazing statistic that many people, veterans, would commit suicide every day.
Yeah.
So obviously it's helping veterans. What other impact are you seeing, or results are you seeing in terms of how are the lives of people changing with transcendental meditation?
Well, one of the areas that I'm most deeply satisfied that we're able to work on is in this whole area of women and domestic abuse and abuse in general. There's an article in today's Wall Street Journal that said that 1 in 3 women worldwide will be victims of abuse, the hands of a partner or someone they don't know in their life, violent abuse. And this is unconscionable. It's just unconscionable. So obviously the perpetrators have, that problem has to be addressed. But we're now working, for example, here in New York City with the Mayor Bloomberg's Family Justice Center, where they are set up to handle women and children who are victims of abuse. And the commissioner, Jimenez, practices transcendental meditation, a big supporter of the David Lynch Foundation, and now we're coming up with a plan to be able to offer this meditation in family justice centers all over the country to equip women and children with the tools to not only promote resilience in their lives, because it's a violent society, but also to help them handle, cope, and ultimately cure. And I say cure, not idealistically, but cure the problem of traumatic stress in their lives. The brain can be healed. The body can be healed through the profound rest that transcendental meditation provides everyone who meditates, and the fact that it actually resets brain functioning, so the brain overrides the trauma and allows the brain to function in a more normal, integrated way. So the women and children area. But one other area, just because there is, I've spent a lot of time on American Indian reservations.
Okay.
And that situation, Barbara, is beyond the pale. I don't like to just be negative all the time, but
no.
The poverty that's on, and there's this sort of this assumption that people have, well, they've got casinos, so they're not in such bad shape. Well, great. Drug abuse is rampant. Violent is rampant. Crime is rampant on the reservations. And there's just a handful of reservations that have successful casinos and, or whatever you successful you want to say, profitable casinos, and they have some of the worst drug problems ever. So we're offering transcendental meditation to tribes. There's 600 tribes, and our goal is to make it available in every one of those tribes to, again, equip
wow.
people with the ability to be resilient for the stresses that are coming their way and to help them treat and cure existing trauma and stress.
Wow, so you're working with the native population as well, and 600 tribes, that's an incredible reach, really. That's a lot of people. Now, does the foundation work mostly in North America, or is it expanded to other countries?
We're in 30 countries.
Wow.
Yeah, and expanding all the time. We're all over Latin America, Middle East, West Bank,
right.
in Israel,
oh, right. Of course,
Africa.
We mentioned that.
Yeah.
Right, we mentioned
right.
that at the beginning. Sorry, I forgot that was about.
No, but no, it's fine. Congo, Uganda,
yeah.
And we're there, but we're in those areas because we're there. We're working with women and children who have been victims of you just
trauma.
Unimaginable trauma,
mm-hmm.
unimaginable trauma.
Yeah.
On our website, davidlynchfoundation.org, there's a little button for our programs for women. And you'll see some amazing videos there of the work that's being done.
Right, right. Okay. And back to the schools. So you're working in schools in those countries as well?
Yes.
Or is this okay?
It's all the beautiful thing about schools is it's all about prevention. I mean, ultimately,
right.
it's everything is about prevention. So
right.
in all these different countries and here in the United States, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, Chicago, Detroit, New York, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and soon, hopefully, many, many more. What the school does is they adopt something called quiet time. And quiet time, they carve a few minutes off of each class,
mm-hmm.
and then they start and end each school day with 10 or 15 minutes of quiet time, and the whole school is, it's an amazing thing to walk into a school, whole school is quiet for the 10 or 15 minutes. And during that 10 or 15 minutes, a child has the option, because it's voluntary. They can meditate. They could, you know, practice TM. They could nap. They could do silent, sustained reading. They can do anything they want as long as they're quiet. And what the research shows is, in particular, TM, that TM-based quiet time has a profound effect on the whole school. Violence levels go down. Suspensions and expulsions go down markedly. There's an increase in graduation rates, test scores. So now, for example, in San Francisco, we're in four schools. There's about 20 schools that are on a waiting list to
oh,
have
okay.
our program.
Okay. So is the waiting list, is that related to funding, or is it just has to be
Yeah,
approved?
I just, what I need to do, yeah, what I need to do is the only, something like this, people say, well, you just have volunteers, they just go in. But the fact is, volunteers is making superficial the crisis. This is a crisis of
right.
stress. As a matter of fact, Forbes magazine called just regular stress the black plague of the 21st century because just that we, any one of us have, because there's modern medicine has no way to prevent it and no way to cure it. And so we want to have full-time teachers who are specially qualified as a profession to be in a school, to be on a military base, to be in a prison, and they're there all the time. And they are teaching and following up and mentoring and for that, I want to pay them very nice living wages, you know, like a high school teacher would get or something like
that.
Well,
absolutely. You want trained professionals or trained people.
Professionals, actually,
they can handle the teaching and, as you said, especially when you're dealing with at-risk populations, you want them to be effectively teaching the technique that's really going to help these people.
Right, absolutely. Right.
So, again, back to how many schools is it in total then now? What's the...
Someone told me it's three. I was trying to keep up 350 schools now all over the world in, I think, 16 countries. And for some reason, Latin America is just taking off. But Latin America, Asia, we're in girls' schools in Thailand, Cambodia. We're in Buddhist schools in Japan. We're in a Catholic school in Chicago, Jewish school in Washington, D.C. It just shows you that this is not religious. This
I was
transcendental
just
going to
say, it's interesting that you're in a Buddhist school.
Because transcendental meditation is different than Zen Buddhism meditation. It produces a different effect on the physiology, on the brain. So the kids do TM, and then they do the Zen Buddhist practice because it's more, their mind is more settled and they're better able to do that practice. So it's not a question of either or. It's like saying I either eat protein or else I eat vegetables. You need both. So transcendental meditation is a very simple, natural, effortless technique that allows everything to settle down to a state of inner calm and quiet and wakefulness. They call it restful alertness. And Zen meditation relies on that foundation of silence to be able to focus and concentrate. And so one supports the other.
Absolutely. They work together. As you said, not either or. They're synchronistic in a way, or... You know, in the
very
end,
much so. Not even
In the end, it is about inner calm, and as you said, going to that place called the unified field, and that it's that's a place where we can truly be at peace, which is incredible.
Well, the example.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, which is incredible considering what some of these people have experienced. Again, the people.
Well,
not just everyday stress. You know, that's one thing.
Oof.
But the true trauma and violence and, as you said, just unimaginable things some of these people have experienced to find peace again in their lives or in themselves is absolutely huge. You know, how's that going to change the world when we can actually, people can actually be at peace again so they're not going to continue to perpetrate that violence?
The example I like to use of the analogy is of an ocean. If you do a cross-section of an ocean, you can see the surface of the ocean is very, very wavy. It could be very tumultuous, choppy. But those waves may be 40-foot, 60-foot swells, which are huge. But the ocean in that cross-section is a mile deep, and the depth of the ocean is silent. Mm-hmm. And so the waves on the surface are natural, but the depth of the ocean, and it doesn't matter how stormy it is and how high those waves could get, the depth of the ocean is untouched, is always silent. And we say the same way with the mind. Surface of our mind is active thinking mind. And for many of us, it's the gotta mind. I gotta go here and I gotta go there and I gotta call him and I gotta call her. Gotta make a list. I gotta find a list. I gotta relax. It's like the noise. And and some meditations attempt to try and, they call it the monkey mind, stop that noise on the surface. Stop through concentration or clearing the mind of thoughts. But in transcendental meditation, we recognize that the surface of the mind, like the surface of the ocean, is naturally active, but that there's a level of every human being's mind, every one of us, built in, where the mind deep within is already calm. It's already settled. It's already also wide awake. And that is the level of the mind that's unbounded, not the fragmented surface. So deep within, settled and wide awake. And transcendental meditation is a way for anybody, a 10-year-old child with ADD, a person with a PhD in, you know, economics, an elderly person, a person behind bars, an athlete, every human being, doesn't even matter, even the trauma, that level deep within is untouched by that trauma. So amazingly. So this is a meditation that just allows the mind to settle down, effortlessly settle down, and access that unbounded ocean of calm and peace within. And then from that foundation, come back out and be healed and strong and clear and passionate and all the things we all want for our life.
Right, and be able to function in the world in an entirely different way.
Yeah, because the brain has been healed from that experience, because the body's been healed. There's a hormone called cortisol, which when we feel anxious, the adrenals secrete cortisol. And then that just makes us more anxious, which then we secrete more cortisol, and then more anxious and more. And it becomes this vicious cycle. And when you get a good night's sleep, transcendental meditation, cortisol levels could drop 10%, but 20 minutes of TM, cortisol levels drop 30 to 40% every meditation.
Wow.
Very powerful.
That is powerful.
That's
amazing. Okay, well, that is incredible to be able to do that, as you said, for everyone, no matter what.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take powers of concentration. I have an ADD mind. I could never meditate. It doesn't require powers of concentration. It is just the natural tendency of the mind to be drawn towards something more satisfying, and inside is most satisfying.
Absolutely. So, Bob, on another note, how do you think the foundation has been able to expand to 350 schools, 30 countries, 600 tribes? What do you think has been sort of the key behind the foundation's, whether I want to use the word success or ability to really reach all these people and make a huge difference? What would you say?
It has grown word of mouth completely. One principal tells another school principal, veteran tells another veteran about the foundation, or prison warden tells another prison warden. Sometimes we're invited to speak at conferences, science conferences. But I really think it's a question of, and it's a cliche, but absolutely the need of the time. I mean, the problem of stress, it's not just that we're more sensitive to stress. The problem of stress is worse now than ever. Society is just, it's just so intense. And so the problem of stress is growing exponentially. It's killing people. It's a black plague of the 21st century. Second thing is the conventional approaches to deal with stress, the so-called miracle wonder drugs or something we thought were going to solve all the problems, haven't worked. Or if they work, they work for a small number of people. They don't work for another percentage. And for some large percentage, it actually has a negative side effect. So that's the second point. So first, the problem is bad. The conventional approaches haven't worked. And the third is the whole notion, as you know, of meditation itself, which even 10 years ago was seen as sort of a bizarre thing, is now very much mainstream. So people are looking to meditation. They go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then, fortunately, we live in a scientific age, so we have this element of what we call evidence-based, where you can look at different meditations, just like you could look at different herbs, and you could say, or medicines, and you could say, well, this is the effect, that this is what this meditation does for the brain. And in TM, it's different than it is for mindfulness, and different than it is for, say, Vipassana or Zen Buddhist practices. And so we're able to see specifically, and those other ones have good results, but they're just different. So it's just the need of the time. I think it's the need of the time.
Yeah, when the need's there, where the student is ready, the teacher appears. In this case, when the need is there, the remedy or the solution, as you said,
someone said, when the karma is finished, the medicine appears.
Perfect. We'll go with that one.
No, I always like that.
When the karma is finished, the medicine appears. I haven't heard that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I love that.
Beautiful.
I love that.
That's great. Okay, and lastly, Bob, what wisdom or advice would you share with other people who might want to be starting something big, not necessarily a foundation, but a project or a program that could be a real catalyst for change? Would you have any?
Well, I would just say there's a beautiful quote in one of the ancient meditation texts which says, established in being, established, capital B, being, established in yourself, perform action. Because when you're established in yourself, so this is the meditation angle, but then I'll come to it. When you're established in yourself, then the thoughts that come are original. And the thoughts and ideas that come are not just original, but they're sort of more in tune with what the need of the time is, or what you know. And when you're establishing yourself, you make the decisions that bring more good benefit. You know, as you sow, so shall you reap. There's an infinity of reasons to be establishing. You're not stressed. You're not angry. You're not reactive. You're not fearful. You're not impulsive. You're not depressed. You're resilient. So if something doesn't go your way, just bounce back. So my first advice would be the same, just copying the advice of the wise throughout the ages, is know thyself, is established in the self, meditate, and then perform action. And then Maharishi, who introduced transcendental meditation, said two things that are fundamentals of success, which I always loved. He says, once you have a good idea, there's two things: conviction and persistence. Conviction and persistence for success. Conviction, I see, is like a vertical thing. Conviction is something that you hold deep inside your soul. I want clean water on the planet, or I want to help the children in my community, or I want to put an end to AIDS, or I want to build a green business, whatever it is. I want to be a healer. I want to go to medical school or naturopathic school. So you have this deep conviction that this is what you want. But then it requires, so that's vertical, but then it requires persistence over time. So you're resilient and you don't give up, and you don't, just because someone says something not nice to you or you have a setback, just makes us stronger. It just tests our conviction. So I would say, know thyself, be true to yourself, and then conviction and persistence. That would be my advice.
Perfect. That's the way to create any real change in the world, isn't it? And the ones who succeed are the ones that don't give up. Firstly, as you said, know themselves, know what it is that they really want to achieve, but refuse to give up no matter what the obstacles. And certainly it sounds like transcendental meditation is one way to help people do that too, because when you're not stressed and you're not traumatized, you can be who you truly are and perform action in the world that you want to perform in a good way. Be an unstoppable force for good, as someone said to me recently. I think that's what that sounds like. This is the perfect way to do that.
No, so, because you have to have conviction. You have to have conviction and persistence, but it can't be for a stupid idea. So
right.
You got to have an idea that.
That's,
as David Lynch says, you want to catch the big fish. The little fish swim at the surface of the pond. The deep fish, the big ideas swim deep in consciousness.
That is the name of David Lynch's book, isn't it? Catching the Big Fish?
Yep, Catching the Big Fish.
Big Fish,
that's right.
Yeah. I've read it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Great.
A meditation in itself, in a way, on creativity and consciousness. And, yeah, that's something people could definitely look up as well. And just to repeat for people to find out more about the David Lynch Foundation, best way to do that is the website?
DavidLynchFoundation.org.
Okay, easy enough.
DavidLynchFoundation.org.
Perfect, all one word. Okay, well, Bob, thank you so much for your time and wisdom this morning, and also for letting us know the impact that the David Lynch Foundation is having in the world. And it's an amazing, amazing organization. And thank you again for telling us about it.
And thank you for asking, for what you're doing and you being true to yourself, and for asking such wonderful questions. I really enjoyed this.
Great. Thank you so much, Bob. Thanks
again.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.